I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that is Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Listen.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, April 19th, 2024 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. To be sure, how wild and dystopic? Well, it's Coachella weekend again. One weekend in April is not enough. There have to be two. And the fun just never ends. We're surrounded by interlopers and useful idiots and all kinds of fun stuff everywhere you look, everywhere I look. So, you know, the fun never stops. And it's Friday. We'll try to keep it light, but no promises, no guarantees. Yeah, it's actually Coachella weekend. Again, it's the second Coachella weekend. So, with a lineup, a 2024 lineup, I think there are 183 musical or, you know, whatever acts at last count, including names like 88 Rising Futures, Art Bat, Bicep, Present Chroma, Blondish, Blixt, El Ethos, Ellie and Fur, Everything Always. I don't even know how to pronounce some of these. Honey Dijon, Times Green Velvet or whatever. I don't know how you pronounce that. Jungle, Maze, Nav, Vampire Weekend. With acts like that, talent like that, you know it's going to be, well, Coachella. But hey, Doja Cat will be there, so it, well, yeah, never mind. And speaking of Coachella, remember the story that I mentioned a while back? It was about a year ago. The Ryan Grimm Intercept story titled Death of Peter Thiel, Romantic Partner Investigated as Suicide. It's so fascinating to me, you know, that these are the people in charge of the secret levers, you know, the total information awareness operation that doesn't exist except that it does, guys like Peter Thiel. And similarly, Hollywood is the perception manager, but Hollywood is obviously the headquarters of deviancy. It's very strange what's happening. Very strange. Who would take advice or allow these people to influence them at all, and yet this is what happened. So from that article, by the way, I'll just read it real quick. I should probably do the prayer first, but I'll read this little bit first. So from the article, Jeff Thomas, just a couple of little excerpts. Jeff Thomas, a model and social media influencer who was recently in a long-term relationship with billionaire Peter Thiel. This was after Peter Thiel allegedly married a man, because you can't, two men can't marry each other. That's not actually a thing. God created marriage. This is an, you know, this is a counterfeit of that, but it's not actually a marriage. So, but that's what people call it. And I agree with Jeff, with Joe Moorcraft. Don't, you know, the word gay is a different word, and it has been reappropriated from a bygone era where it was a fun word. It's homosexuality. That's what it is. It's interesting. Pretty soon, if not already, that will be hate speech. It's just the truth. So, and I have a particular distaste for it because of where everything in America is headed. Western society, there's a reason why that kind of stuff, you know, the Mark Driscoll thing, without getting too far ahead, and I'll just finish the article excerpt and we'll do the prayer and stuff. But the Mark Driscoll thing, it's worse than what is alleged. It's all theater. It's all managed theater. Mark Driscoll is theater. I don't know how far down that rabbit hole I want to go. Probably not. But, you know, this Stronger Men's Conference is ridiculous. That's theater. It's the same WWF theater, including Donald J. Trump, by the way. So, Driscoll, John Lindell, Alex Magala, the guy at the center of the controversy, the, you know, crazy stunt, whatever. But Driscoll and Lindell in particular, two sides of the same satanic deception coin. It's funny that, you know, people ask, who is, are John Lindell and Mike Lindell related? And Google can't even seem to figure that out. Google seems to not even want to ponder the question. I wonder why that is. So, is it Streisand effect? But Greg Locke, Ali, Alexander Akbar, and all the rest of them, it's all managed theater. It's interesting how the more you dive into it, the more you keep track of, you know, if you bookmark some of this stuff and keep track of some of the names, it's the same people on both sides of the false discussion, false narrative, managing perception and getting people excited. Anyway, back to the excerpt. Jeff Thomas said he spent much of his time with the tech mogul, Peter Thiel, working to persuade him away from his increasingly aggressive pursuit of culture war, of a culture war. Why would he do that? A war that Thomas warned was blowing back on their community. Thiel did not respond to texts or phone calls requesting comment. Most of the people The Intercept spoke to during Ryan Grimm's reporting have requested anonymity. Notice how everybody's doing that these days. Citing Thiel's relentless and successful effort to obliterate Gawker in retribution for outing him in the 2000s. Well, no one's outed Peter Thiel better than himself with his extravagant behavior, some of which Ryan Grimm discusses in his article. But, you know, more than lawfare, obviously with his Sullivan and Cromwell background, being a Bilderberg steering committee member at last check, and those kinds of things, there's a lot of power there. But I think more concerning than that are the projects that Peter Thiel is a part of, a central figure in, really. Palantir is obviously one, and the more recent project is Anduril, things like that. They tilt these things up, and all of a sudden it's worth a couple billion dollars. It's interesting that the surveillance state is in overdrive, and Peter Thiel is at the head of total information awareness equals full spectrum dominance. So back to the article, Thomas had met Thiel back in 2015 or 16 at Coachella. Coachella, Peter Thiel likes to party, apparently. So Jeff Thomas told Ryan Grimm where Thiel threw one of his legendary parties. Quote, I was wondering why he was being affiliated with someone like Trump and investing in him if he's gay, Thomas said. But his own father was a Republican, Thomas said, and he grew up in Texas, so he felt that he knew how to reach people who thought differently. I think that last sentence is a little confusing, maybe too much ambiguity in the he's. I spoke with Thomas while doing reporting for a profile of Thiel, which is ongoing, Ryan Grimm adds. Several of Thomas's friends in Los Angeles said they often saw Thiel at Thomas's home and also saw Thomas at Thiel's nearby home on Metz Place. Parenthetically, Ryan Grimm adds, unrelatedly, before Thomas moved in, the home was owned by leading figures in the bizarre Nexium sex cult that was rolled up in 2021, according to property records. So, birds of a deviant feather flock together, and this is the America that we find ourselves in. The weirdness is coming out in the open, and we're all supposed to be highly charged, highly politicized, lots of free-floating anxiety everywhere, that we can be pointed at something or other, like, you know, sharks with freaking laser beams. So here we are. Let me do the prayer real quick before we press on, because it matters. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the worldly governors, the princes of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, which are in the high places, masquerading as angels of light, of course. But really, coming out into the open, pretty straightforward. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And just about everybody in any position of prominence is either in on it or a useful idiot. And at some point, there's really not much difference, but prayer is needed. It's difficult to remember all the time that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Too many Renfields in the world and not enough time. So, without further ado, the Lord's Prayer and the full armor of God, Matthew 6 and Ephesians 6, respectively. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, please help us to put on the full armor of God. Help us to gird our loins about with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Help us to take up the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, take up the sword of the Spirit, and pray at all times in the Spirit. pray that no weapon formed against the righteous shall prosper, that all who walk in error would come to know the truth in Christ, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Please reveal our hypocrisy and double-mindedness. I pray that unrepentant evildoers be brought swiftly to justice, wickedness be brought swiftly to an end, righteousness be restored in the land, and poisonous trees and their offshoots like brands and agencies conceived in malice would collapse under the weight of their own evil, or perhaps be cut down and cast into the fire. Amen. You can't prune evil. As Carol Quigley observed, corporations that receive the gift of immortality and thereby, you know, other folks live on in perpetuity in their evil dreams, that should stop. This whole Groundhog Day nonsense should stop. It's insane. Yeah. This is where we are. So, how crazy? Let's see. Back to this. I think this is America. By the way, the phone lines are open. Couple of things. RBN needs your help. This is a listener-supported network, and since, you know, Richard N. Haas and Bill Gates and guys like that are probably not extending their influence and their philanthropic, air quotes, efforts this direction, you know, it's a listener-supported network. No Ford Foundation, no Rockefeller, no Gates Foundation grants forthcoming, which is a good thing. And it's, we're in a strange place, I think, where do people really, they don't want the free-range stuff. Most people don't. Most people genuinely want to be told what to do these days. And this is a phenomenon that is not new. It plays on the ancient proclivities of man. I would say you could take it back to Genesis 3 for sure, but certainly Exodus 20. Let's go talk to God. No way. You talk to us, lest we perish. We don't want to be accountable. You tell us what to do, Moses, so that we can sort of mess around there and have a buffer. We didn't know. We didn't know. This is supposed to be a government of, by, and for the people. At last check, history tells us, if we read guys like Solzhenitsyn, that we get it figured out too late. Whoops. In any case, this is a listener-supported network. Thank you to the many faithful listeners. The many faithful supporters who listen and support the network. If you don't currently or never have never supported the network, please consider supporting RBN directly through the sponsors, advertisers, and go to the website to find out more about that. And again, thank you to the many faithful supporters of the network. Call-in lines are open, local 512-248-8252. And toll-free, use it sparingly. Speaking of listener-supported network, the toll-free number, it comes at a cost. So 800-313-9443. Again, local 512-248-8252, toll-free 800-313-9443. And by the way, RBN will no longer be taking calls from blocked or restricted numbers. Too much, you know. It's just a waste of time. So don't do that unless you just want to, you know, not get through. If you don't have anything better to do, I guess, do that. But don't expect it to be answered. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge. And I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214, or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Health Simple with Kalwara Shilaji, Fact Bit number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yoga vaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilaji, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilaji is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilaji makes other substances more effective.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Friday. Welcome back to Road Warrior Radio. Time to set your playback speed to 1.5 or 1.25, maybe 1.5, something like that, as we listen to the paint dry. On this day, what else is going on? Let's see. It's John Parker Day. That's fun. That's interesting. It's Oklahoma City Bombing Commemoration Day. That's fun. And how many people know the story of the Sheep Dipper? I think James Corbett probably told that story about as well as anyone. What The Secret Life of Timothy McVeigh, I think that was it, episode 305. And he did some other stuff. Is that the one that I'm thinking of? May 11, 2015. He did some stuff further back, too, and he dug in quite a ways. Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber, the face of American terrorism. Certainly not John Doe number two. Couldn't be that guy. Who is John Doe number two? Who are all these people? Who is John Doe number two when it comes to the Boston Marathon bombing, which, you know, marks, obviously that goes along with this other thing. It's the never forget trauma syndrome stuff. Who is Graham Fuller? And who is Uncle Russell and Sarney that lived in Graham Fuller's basement for quite a while? Who is Graham Fuller? And who is John Doe number two? And who is, will the real sheep dipper please step forward? Timothy McVeigh. So let's see, Oklahoma City bombing commemoration day, John Parker Day, that's interesting. Before I dive into that, I need to get back to ideas have consequences. That's kind of what this is all just sort of a prelude to that. It's Bicycle Day. Did you know that? It's Humorous Day. It's National Hanging Out Day. That's a thing, apparently. And to all the cat ladies, we say, hey, all the cat ladies, all the cat ladies. Beyonce is a country star. That's how weird America is now, but not really. Country in name only. But it's all crap these days, right? It's all crap anyway. Country and rap. So it's National Cat Lady Day, apparently. It's National Amaretto Day and National Garlic Day, which is appropriate since there are so many Renfields around. Maybe they'll get the hint. John Parker Day. John Parker was born in born July 13, 1729, a farmer, mechanic, fought in the French and Indian War. He was selected as the militia captain in his hometown of Lexington. Perhaps you've heard of Lexington, Massachusetts. And it was on one fateful morning in April 1775 when events transpired that set a group of colonists on an inexorable path forward toward freedom or defeat and gave Captain John Parker a spot in the history books and his own day. In the spring of 1775, British General Thomas Gage had orders to seize the stores of weapons that were accessible to colonists. On April 18, he directed the weapons in Concord, Massachusetts to be taken, and for Samuel Adams and John Hancock, who were thought to be in Lexington, to be captured. John Parker received warning of the British approach. Speaking of British intrigue, this, for whatever reason, reminds me of something that I will come back to in the next segment. I have to put a pin in this before I forget. The crazy wow. Dan Gordon. Israeli-American filmmaker Dan Gordon, interview, CBN News interview. Good night. How many people know what he's talking about? And like I said yesterday, I think it was, context is key. If you actually, I mean, he tells you, he puts it all out there. And if you can put two and two together and you can substitute the context, you know, the storytellers who rule society want to. Yeah, exactly. Stick around. We'll be right back.
That play. Give me your emotions out of that door. So much space.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is really is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
back? We are back. Okay. All right. We're back. Welcome back. I need to finish this deal, and then we will do the clip. For those with the ears to hear, wow. Dan Gordon really tells it all. You know, talking about, you know, from the October 10 stuff, you know, and again, it is so interesting to me that the, you know, Pike's letter to Mazzini never happened. That was some fakery, but no one's ever actually gone back and read the documents. Just do the most basic search for yourself. You can go to the Wayback Machine and grab yourself a copy maybe two things. So Mr. E reports the greatest hoax of all time. And so, you know, there you go. This is like pigeon chess. There you go. Checkmate. Done. Pigeon chess. But not so fast. Because, you know, for people who are genuinely curious, genuinely interested, Devil in the 19th Century, if you go back and you actually read, I've done this on air. Published back in when? I forget exactly. 1892 to 1894, and you know, all of this Zionism stuff, it's a forgery. It's very accurate for a forgery. The broader context around the passage in question. And what has transpired. And I think calling it a forgery or a hoax basically repels people, even though, you know, again, you have two groups of people. You have those who look at it. Well, actually, I think there are three. There are the people who hear the story and buy the narrative and advance things. And it's the same thing that happens these days. The two false sides are, you know, one, the side that reads the story and does and believes some aspect of it and tells the story, wow, this was written about, you know, kind of like the protocols. Then there's the other side that says, don't you know that's a hoax? And these, you know, these two get fighting. Meanwhile, all the while during the fighting, this thing advances forward, and you're not shocked because whichever of those false sides you're on, you've been desensitized to what is happening going forward. So it's not shocking. It's been put out there. But then there's another group, I think, that actually looks into it and says, wow, this is really strange stuff. How could he possibly have written about these kinds of things that are happening now? 130 years later, how is that possible? Seems like there's more to the story here. Seems like maybe this begs some investigation, and most people don't think that it's remotely possible that you could engineer something like that. But if that's not the case, then how is it that... I mean, let's look at one of the other most infamous documents, the externalization of the hierarchy and the 2025 deadline. What's that all about? Published in 1957, written, you know, depending on how far back you want to go, much, much earlier. Published officially in 1957. I've made this practical application and this immediate illustration of teaching on end glamour, illusion, and Maya because the whole world problem has reached a crisis today. And because its clarification will be the outstanding theme of all progress, educational, religious, and economic, until 2025 AD. What? What's that all about? Thus, a great and new movement is proceeding, and a tremendously increased interplay and interaction is taking place. This will go on until AD 25. During the years intervening between now and then, very great changes will be seen taking place. And at the Great General Assembly of the Hierarchy, held as usual every century, in 2025, the date in all probability will be set for the first stage of the externalization of the hierarchy. This is why the guns are being grabbed and the resistance is, you know, becoming futile and all that. In 2025, the date in all probability will be set for the first stage of the externalization of the hierarchy. The present cycle from now until that date is called technically, quote unquote, the stage of the forerunner. It is preparatory in nature, testing its methods, and intended to be revelatory in its techniques and results. You can see, therefore, that Cohen's masters, initiates, world disciples, and aspirants affiliated with the hierarchy are all at this time passing through a cycle of great activity. You know, this was published before I was born, decades before I was born, a couple decades. Well, in the decades, not a couple decades. I was born in 1970, so, you know, more than an entire decade before I was born. And yet, it seems that something is happening that corresponds to this infamous document and other plans of old school bad guys. I think that's all I'll say about it. I would just encourage folks to maybe not judge so fast on the alleged Taxol hoax. Go, you know, you can, with the tools like Google Translate, you can translate entire sections of, I don't even know how to pronounce the number, Le Diable, whatever, Cecile. The Mysteries de Spiritisme, you know, the cause of world, or the devil in the 19th century. Cause of World Unrest is the other book that's mentioned. That was published in 1920, I believe. Nesta Webster, Cause of World Unrest. In the year 1986, there appeared in Paris, or excuse me, 1986, Dyslexia. It's a thing. Just kidding. It may be, but it's not my thing. In the year 1896, that's better. In the year 1896, there appeared in Paris a curious publication called, translated in English. Nesta Webster obviously mentions it in the French. She's not afeard of the French. I, on the other hand, am a good American who is monolingual. The Devil in the 19th Century. I mean, effectively, not entirely, but you know what I mean. Certainly not as versatile when it comes to language as I probably should be. It was an attack upon Freemasonry and came out in parts illustrated with grotesque and repulsive engravings. The name on the title page is Dr. a tale. But it is stated in the British Museum catalog that the real authors were Gabriel Hogan Paget and Charles Hax. The book, with evident knowledge and a show of authority, set out to trace the connection between Freemasonry and the revolutions, but its sensationalism and the extremely doubtful character of some of the documents produced brought it into disrepute. But what if, you know, like the protocols, I mean, I'll just read the whole section. It is now forgotten, and yet it contains a good deal that can be verified from other sources. This is what I'm talking about. So this blunted perspective, does anybody bother to read Nessa Webster's The Cause of World Unrest? I mean, again, this is a short book written in English. You can read it for yourself. And she seems to kind of speak to the concern as you hear. So it is now forgotten, and yet it contains a good deal that can be verified from other sources, and some things also which seem to be verified by recent events. In particular, there is a letter, or an alleged letter, said to have been written by Albert Pike. See, she addresses it properly, I would say, the sovereign pontiff of universal Freemasonry, quote unquote. She gives the quotes there. Assisted by the 10 ancients of the Grand Lodge of the Supreme Orient at Charleston, to the very illustrious brother, quote unquote, Giuseppe Mazzini. This letter is added in Masonic, or excuse me, this letter is dated in Masonic style, parenthetically, August 15, 1871, and sets forth an anti-clerical policy which Mazzini is to follow in Italy. Measure proposed, including secular education, the expulsion of the religious orders, and so forth, need not detain us. What is to our purpose occurs toward the end of the letter on page 605, volume 2. The writer explains that owing to the working out of this policy, the Pope may be driven at some future time out of Italy, and that established religion will then find its last refuge in Russia. And you know what? Just for fun, why not read the excerpt? And the letter reads, quote, "That is why when the autocratic empire of Russia will have come to will have become a citadel of papal Christianity, Adonaisme Papiste, we shall unchain the revolutionary nihilists and atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm which will demonstrate clearly to the nations in all its horror the effect of absolute unbelief, mother of savagery, and the most bloody disorder." And I would say wherever you look, you see the free-floating anxiety of terror. You know, again, that church scene from Kingsman is another visual that just keeps coming to my mind. Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the mad minority of revolutionaries will exterminate these destroyers of civilization and the multitude disillusioned of Christianity, which it's not really Christianity, counterfeit, whose deistic soul will up to that moment be without compass, thirsting for an ideal, but not knowing where to bestow their worship. Again, ideas have consequences, so do ideals. Will receive the true light by the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of pure Luciferian doctrine, at last made public, a manifestation which will arise from the general movement of reaction following the destruction of atheism and Christianity, both at the same time vanquished and exterminated, end quote. Webster adds, now this letter is at least as old as 1896. If it is a forgery, if it is, let me multitask for a minute, which is bad for radio. Hopefully this helps and this fits stuff together. And, you know, there are so many clues. So there's the externalization of the hierarchy. How is this 2025 date where things, the clutter, is the stage is being set now? That's interesting. Some people will deny that. That's fine. There's this letter. There's this subject, especially since October 7 of 2023, which is a curious date, you know, and you're telling me all this weird stuff really happened, like the bad guys planned in advance and then they do a thing with GoPro, you know, helmets on. And I mean, come on. It's theater. It's terrorism is theater. You can't see that. It's obvious. It's plain as day. And then we're going to tell you, look, we did all this planning and we're going to reveal those. Meanwhile, on the most pedestrian article in America, you can't get a name or a source on anything. Sources who asked to remain anonymous. Everybody's anonymous these days. But Hamas, which publicly, I mean, if you do any homework, you will find has been incubated by the same forces. Again, you know, it's the Gladio network in full effect. We're supposed to believe all of this, and the fact that that correlates back to this plan. Gosh, that's strange. Anyway, to finish. Now, this letter, Nessa Webster writes in The Cause of World Unrest, now this letter is at least as old as 1896, if it is a forgery. If it is genuine, it is as old as 1871. So she acknowledges, if it's a forgery, it's at least this old. It must therefore be considered remarkable, whether it's a forgery or a genuine document. And I would add, all the more so, some 130 to 150 years later. Don't you think? For it predicts what has happened in Russia, and it claims for its authors that they were preparing to bring about what has happened. If we compare more closely the words of the Masonic letter with that, with what has actually happened in Russia, we cannot but see how close is the correspondence between the threats and the reality. And so she compares the letter with Churchill's description. So the letter, you know, the excerpt she includes, we shall unchain the revolutionary nihilists and atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, horror, savagery, the most bloody turmoil. Obviously, you know, the Bolshevik stuff. Churchill's description, in the same way that you might send a file to tear to pieces every institution, long internal terrors, menaced by famine, sufferings more fearful than modern records hold. So then Webster concludes, whatever explanation we may incline to give, we must at least allow that it is a document which is very difficult to explain. Does that sound like she's just jumping on the bandwagon? I don't think so. And there is this much to be said in support of it, that Mazzini certainly was connected, as we shall see, with the birth of that movement of revolutionary nihilism, quote unquote, called the Internationale. Yeah, exactly. One thing is certain, Nesta concludes finally, the motive suggested by Albert Pike for the destruction of Russia is not adequate. The cult of Adonaiism, whatever that may be, and the hypothesis that the Pope might take refuge in Russia would never have driven a body of conspirators to plot the destruction of Russia. But if the Charleston Lodge was, as it is generally supposed to be, very largely Jewish in origin and control, the motive becomes intelligible. It would lie in the hatred of the political Jew, both for Russia and for Christianity. And what is a political Jew? Now I feel like the pony whistle just went off and a bunch of ponies are about to line up, but I digress. So that's Nesta Webster, The Cause of World Unrest, beginning on page 50, concluding with the end of the chapter, chapter 4, on page 53. Does that sound like a bandwagon person? She sounds thoroughly informed. Does she not? And she's considering the possibility the letter is a forgery, but she says, even if it is a forgery, it seems difficult to explain. And again, I would add, it seems all the more difficult to explain 104 years after the publication of Nessa Webster's The Cause of World Unrest. Interesting. And, you know, the thing that really just boggles my mind is if you read The Cause of World Unrest, you know, some of the introductory notes and things, it seems to say a lot of things a lot of people are inclined to believe these days. But again, it's those two groups. It's these false sides, which sounds a lot like Marxist, Hegelian, Fidian dialectical conflict, does it not? Fomenting sides and colliding them against one another. Imagine that. Publisher's note: on the ground of its intrinsic historic importance and of the widespread interest it has attracted on the other side of the Atlantic, there seems to be good warrant for the cause, or excuse me, for the publication of an American edition of The Cause of World Unrest. The American publishers desire to make clear, however, that they do not accept responsibility for the soundness and the conclusions presented in this volume. They have issued the book because of their belief that the American reading public should be afforded an opportunity of examining the material. It is the contention of the author that certain of the plans for domination outlined in the documents upon which this volume is based have apparently been followed in the recent movements in Russia. The publisher's desire to point out what the author of the volume has emphasized, has himself emphasized, that while the statements presented do reflect upon the purpose and the actions of certain groups of Jews and of certain groups of Freemasons, there has been no intention of bringing accusation against the Jewish race as a whole or against Freemasons as a society. New York, September 20, 1920. So that's an interesting little note, but it gets better. Preface to the American edition: the difficulty in arriving at an accurate understanding of the problem of the Jew, of the Jews, lies in the fact that there is a distinct Jewish religion and a distinct Jewish race. Huh. Where one ends, the other begins, or where both mean one and the same thing, are subjects which are discussed in the following pages. I think that that would be of some interest to some people, but how many people have mentioned The Cause of World Unrest recently? And I think I'll probably mention some of this. So we're in a break, right? Stick around. We'll be right back. Second hour coming up right after the short break.
Oh, come on, Donnie. They were threatening castration.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to split hairs here?
No.
Am I wrong?
Well,
nihilists, man.
Huh?
They kept saying they believed in nothing.
Nihilists. I mean, say what you want about the tenets of National Socialism, dude. At least it's an ethos.
No. On RPM from 7 to 10 with highly qualified guests. Monday through Friday, we talk about a range of topics. Day to day, helping you find your way through the chaos in store. John Moore, the Liberty Man, his website is second to none. Visit thelibertyman.com. Remember John Moore, from 7 to 10 and tune in. John Moore, the Liberty Man.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.